My name is Ed, and I am an alcoholic.
Amen.
I want to thank my friend and sponsor, Leo, for allowing me to come up here and share my little bit of knowledge I have, which isn't very much. Everything I've learned, I've been taught, seems like to me, in Alcoholics Anonymous, with a lot of my philosophies, etc., for today. And thank you for allowing us to come up. You guys really have a nice place to have a meeting. It's just really cheerful and kind of upbeat. Saw it when we first walked in. And I like the Santa Claus hats on all the horse riders. Little things that appeal to me. I'm still a kid. My sobriety date is February 20th, 1985. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to God and Alcoholics Anonymous. I took my first drink when I was about 15. My oldest brother came back from Korea. He was a machine gunner in the 1st Marine Regiment. He had his three rows of ribbons, including a Purple Heart with a gold cluster. And he asked me if I wanted to go have a drink with him, and I said, sure, because I wanted to be with one of my heroes. So we went down to Harriet's Tavern, and this was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Went down to Harriet's Tavern. We had, to my recollection, we had three shots and three beers, and my stomach was already doing flip-flops. We got in the car because he wanted to go do some serious drinking. So he took me back up to the house, and I ran upstairs and threw up everything I'd eaten in the last day and a half. And then I slept into the next afternoon. And every time thereafter somebody said, let's drink, I was just ready to go. I don't know about crossing a line or whether I was alcoholic from the, I drank alcoholic from the first, at least alcoholically as I understand it today. I drank to get drunk. There's only two times in my life I can remember being offered a drink. And I can tell you which time they were if I wanted to, and I never went back to those places. Because one was my sister's house, and I jiggled those ice cubes and jiggled them until they melted, and they never offered me another drink. And I just never went back. When I drink, everything else stops. It's always been that way. I had my own company later on in my life, and related to a construction company. On Thursday, I was drinking once a week at that time. It was another last-ditch effort to save my marriage. It didn't save it. But it was another last-ditch effort, and I was trying to drink on Fridays only. So on Thursday, I got everything ready and told my crew, this is a truck number, this is a tow truck number if you have problems, and this is where to go if you do this, and don't bother me on Friday, it's mine. And I would say, like, get a late start, 9:30 or 10 a.m. on Friday. And I'd go down to Big John's, and I loved the whole process of drinking. As long as it worked, I loved it. I just loved walking in that bar. It would be real dark, and there'd be a light like this over the pool table. Smoke was rising up there, and these guys would all turn and look at me, and I would just hear that music from the Clint Eastwood movie. And I just loved it. And I'd be wearing my bomber jacket because I'm about to get bombed. And I'd walk over to the bar and I'd just put one foot on the rail and just whisper, beer. Just fall right into the part. Then sit there quietly for a while. Then some other expert would say something to me and I'd say something to them. Next thing you know, we're having a very highly intelligent conversation. And then it was time to go somewhere where there was a little more action. So I'd go up to another joint. And then about 5 o'clock, the ladies would start coming in and we'd start dancing and giggling and having all kinds of fun. And it always ended up in the same way. Ed, come on, we want to go home. I'd be on the bar, come up with that stuff coming out of her mouth, you know. That very dignified end of the day. And that's the way I did it. And in 1963, I visited AA because of that first wife. She said, you don't drink like a normal person. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, I think you should go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I kind of gave her one of those. And I said, okay, call and make an appointment for me. And she did. And that was in Santa Monica. I went up to 26th and Broadway at a place called Serenity Manor. Talked to an old guy named Blackie. He read me some stuff out of that big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And the one thing I remember hearing was, when I take a drink, I can't stop. And I thought to myself, that's it. That's what it is. It's a physical thing. And I understood that. I didn't understand anything else. So I went around for about 30 or 60 or 90 days and then decided one day to have a little drinky-poo. So I got drunk, of course. And I called up Blackie, And he said, that happens once in a while when you first come around here. You've got to redouble your efforts. No idea what the man meant. Not an idea. And I had a brand new red 63 Chevy sitting out there. You know, I was making well above average money as a bakery driver back then. I like what my friend from Simi Valley, Dick, used to say. He used to say, I know I'm an alcoholic, but not really an alcoholic. See, that allows me to keep drinking. And that's the way I felt. because I want to still drink is what it was. So 3 weeks went by and I got drunk again. What I didn't understand is I awakened the lion. I awakened the sleeping lion. I know that now. I didn't know it then. So I got drunk again 3 weeks later. And I thought, well, I called Blackie the first time. I'll call Blackie the second time. So I called him up and told him what I did. I've got a very sensitive nature. And Blackie said something I didn't care for. He said, now you're being a chump. And I said, oh, yeah, watch this, and hung up the phone. And that was the end of AA back then. So due to a series of unfortunate incidents, 50 or 60 bad breaks, in July 1st, 1984, I ended up back in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, not because of me, because of my daughter. And she was hooked on cocaine, and it just knocked me sideways. I knew she was a drunk. She was a great drinker. Small, thin gal, and she'd just drink the guys under the table. I liked her. But anyway, I didn't know about the drugs, and so anyway, we got her into a recovery program, and they had those AA meetings down there. And so we had to go to those. Long story short, next 7.5 months, I got drunk 6 different times. And in that period of time, I came to love the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really wanted what you have, but every 30 or 60 days, I'd have to get drunk. The best I did once, I got 83 days. I couldn't get that doggone 90-day chip. So I wasn't going to go to AA anymore. Why would I want to come around and harm people like you? You're living better. You're trying to do right, and here comes this chump coming in here. You know, it got so that they'd say anybody with 30 days, they'd look over to see if I had 30 days or if I didn't. And I just wasn't going to go back. A little guy named Keith Kay came up and talked me into going back. He was about 5 foot tall and 5 foot wide. And he talked to me like a Dutch uncle for about 30 minutes. You don't owe those people nothing, don't you, Razor? You earned that seat. You just got done. They don't know you or not. Lie, they did know I were not. And I got sober in San Fernando Valley. Down there, when you go out, even before you take the second drink, it's boom, 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 boom. The drums go all along the valley. Everybody knows. And that's so they did know. Anyway, he talked me into going back because I just got tired of listening to him. I was a little sicky poo. And I said, okay, I'll go back with you. And that particular night, he double-crossed me. He said, you know, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't owe them anything. They said, any new people in here? And he reached over and raised my hand. And I just felt that heat and that shame go up over me. And then all through that meeting, I just felt like I was blowing up inside. And at the end of the meeting, I jumped in my truck and I was driving up this particular place, going to my house, and it happened. I was granted one of those sudden spiritual experiences. And it just fell all over me. Never been the same. It's never been the same. Before that, I'd come into these rooms, I'd see these old white-haired so-and-sos. And these grubby old sons of guns, and I just, you know, it started, if you want what we have, and I thought, oh, Jesus, if I have to hear this one more time. And after that, it was never the same. From that next night on, it was never the same walking in the meetings. I walked in, it was bright lights, it was people smiling, it was people cheering. And when they looked over and said, anybody with 30 days, and they looked over at me to see if I did or didn't have, I didn't even care. I was in. I don't know why. So I called a guy the next morning, and he gave me the most important words I ever heard. He said, you had what is known in Alcoholics Anonymous as a spiritual experience, my friend. He said, do not be confused with that with a spiritual awakening. You must take these steps to have a spiritual awakening. If you don't, you will drink again. And for whatever reason, I heard him. So then I called and asked another man who used to share in meetings and look right at me. When I was coming in and out of this place, and I just looked like this trying to avoid him. So I called him and asked him if he would take me through the steps, which he did, one page at a time through the big book and through the 12 steps to recovery. And even when he was doing that and when I began to take these steps, I said, now, they'll see that this doesn't work for an alcoholic of my type. And then they'll let me go, which means I can drink, of course, and I'm still here. So there's something to be said for taking the steps of an Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't believe that a person can take these and not have something happen. don't believe that anymore. When I came here, I didn't know if God was he, she, or it. Today, I absolutely believe that God is he, she, and it. That's just the way I look at it. I've been absolutely blessed to be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're in this room today and you have not received that blessing, I hope and I pray that this is your day. Thank you.